Good morning. The reading today is from Hosea chapter 14. Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say, our gods, to what our own hands have made. For in you the fatherless find compassion. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like the lily. He will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree. His fragrance like the cedar of Lebanon. People will dwell again in his shade. They will flourish like corn. They will blossom like the vine. Israel's fame will be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? I will answer him and care for him. I am like a flourishing juniper. Your faithfulness comes from me. Who is wise? Let them realize these things. Who is discerning? Let them understand. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. Hosea 14.
Good morning. I have to say that being in a place like this brings back memories for me. A hall a little bit bigger than this, with 400 smiling teenagers, two rows of staff, members of staff up the side. A lovely feeling. Lovely to be back in a situation like this. Well, if you could describe this summer in one word, perhaps it might be this one. Dry. We're fortunate in a sense compared to places like New South Wales. If you've been watching your TV recently, you've seen the situation in Australia, particularly in New South Wales, where what was very fertile land has suddenly become dry. Completely dry and worthless in some ways, and a really situation in Australia which is causing a great deal of concern. So we might have enjoyed a dry summer, even though my lawns are in a terrible state. On the other hand, we need to consider dryness in perhaps a different way this morning. We ourselves in the Christian life often find periods of dryness. And there are many reasons for this. Three of the main reasons might be physical. It may be that you're overtired. And that overtiredness impacts you in a spiritual way, can affect you spiritually. Secondly, it's psychological. It can be that you might find yourself facing difficult situations, events are beginning to drain you. Emotionally, you feel drained, which also can have an impact upon us spiritually. But the third particular reason I want to look at this morning is spiritual dryness. And to help us with that, I want us to look at this passage which Andrew has read for us in Hosea. I want to look at it in three ways. First of all, to look at it, what Hosea suggests might be the cause. And secondly, he goes on to outline the cure. And thirdly, and perhaps in some ways more significantly, the consequences of that. And to give us an idea, I thought we would look in the cause terms at the life of Solomon. Solomon, you might describe his life summarized by three main positives, but one negative. And the negative incurred dryness. Alexander McLean wrote these words: "Scripture never blinks at the defects of heroes. Its portraits do not smooth out wrinkles, but with absolute fidelity gives all faults." And in looking at the life of Solomon, we can see his faults. It doesn't sweep them under the carpet. Scripture gives it clearly to us. What went wrong with Solomon? Well, what do we know about Solomon? We know, for example, he was pretty wise. He was known for his wisdom. We know that it's recorded in 1 Kings that God gave Solomon wisdom and great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sands of the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East and greater than the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else. A very, very wise man, known for his wisdom. What else was he known for? He's known for his work in the building of the temple. Again, Scripture tells us the foundation of the temple occurred in the year of the month of Ziph, and then it goes on to say, and the part I've highlighted, he has spent 7 years building it. Well, 2 or 3 months in doing our refurb is nothing compared to Solomon's 7 years in rebuilding the temple. Incidentally, you may note as you read on in that particular passage that at the beginning of the 7th chapter it says, it took, however, 13 years to complete the construction of his palace. So why it took him 7 years to build a temple, it took him 13 to build his palace. So his work was well known. What else do we know about Solomon? Well, he was a wealthy man. Again in chapter 10 and verse 23, King Solomon was greater in riches and all wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. He was pretty well off. To put it in modern day terms, his wealth was equivalent to £2 trillion. Not billion, £1 trillion. Three positive things in the life of Solomon. But in chapter 11, things go wrong. Things go wrong to the extent that you might say there was a dryness in Solomon's life. And the problem began with his wife. 2 men were chatting together, and one said to the other, "My wife's an angel." To which the other replied, "You're lucky, mate. Mine's still alive." Solomon had problems with his wives. Because he had a few. As scripture again records, it tells us that Solomon, in fact, had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Quite a lot to take care of. And as one particular writer said, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 porcupines. Well, porcupines have an effect. They actually can be quite sharp in their prickliness, etc. So Solomon ended up in his life with what would be termed a dry period. Why was he dry? Well, because he had disobeyed God. Disobeyed God in terms of his wives. God had made it clearly to him not to marry foreign women. Because what happened in Solomon's case was, when he married foreign women, they gradually had an impact upon him. They brought their foreign gods with them. And before long, Solomon gradually slipped into worshipping with them, worshipping their gods. And he had forgotten what God had said, which was quite clear, that he was the one and only God. So he'd slipped into disobedience. And this is actually what Hosea is saying at the very beginning of that lesson that we read. Your sins have been your downfall. In Solomon's case, disobedience. And if you, and we haven't got time this morning, if we look at the book, one of the books that Solomon wrote and is in the Bible, Ecclesiastes, we see the evidence of that in what Solomon wrote. But time doesn't allow us to examine some of the things in that particular area. And I want us to look very carefully at how Hosea suggests that we might find a cure for that particular problem of dryness. What he says in cure is, first of all, don't look to the things of the world. Assyria, in his case, cannot save us. That typified to Hosea the things of the world. Assyria cannot save us. What Hosea says, take words with you and return to the Lord. Take words with you and return to the Lord. And remember what Jesus said in John 4, recorded in John 4. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus gives us the water which cures our dryness, the living water. The living water from him. If we're spiritually dry, the simple cure is to come to Jesus. As Hosea says, return to the Lord. He does not require superhuman efforts on our part, as it were, to pull our socks up and do better. He just says, return to the Lord. Come to Jesus. But what we note in this particular passage is that Hosea gives us, along with other parts of Scripture, that there are disciplines in the Christian life. And Hosea gives us a clue. Take words with you, says Hosea. Jesus is the Logos, the living word. Well, you may say to me this morning, David, well, you know, I know that if I'm dry, I need to go to the Lord. I need to go to the Holy Spirit and ask him to fill me again. Yes, true. That might be the case. That we might need to turn to the Lord again and ask the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh again. But the point I want to make this morning is that the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit, his main function, is to point us to Jesus. And Jesus is the living word. And when we drink of the Holy Spirit and drink of Jesus, we need to turn to that living word in order to drink afresh. Go on being filled, says the New Testament. And if I look back over my life and look at times when I've been dry, and there have been times in my life when I felt dry, spiritually dry, invariably if I examine myself, it's because I have neglected God's word. I've neglected to spend time with the Lord in his word. Hosea puts these words as God's words. I will heal their waywardness. I will love them freely. During the summer holidays, it's often the case that when you're trying to entertain grandchildren or children to fill in the time, you might take them to visit various places. Well, that happened with one particular family, and they went off to the museum. And they had a good time at the museum, but the family came back and said, you know, can we go somewhere which is not old and dry? Somewhere which is a bit more alive. Well, you know, I believe sometimes Christians have that same approach to the Word of God. They can look upon the Word of God as something which is dry and not alive. That God's Word can bring us alive. By His Spirit, He can speak to us, and we can know something of the refreshing power of the Holy Spirit. When our family have visited Disney World, which we've done on more than one occasion in Florida, it's usually been pretty hot and pretty dry. And what happens in Disney World is, at various points, they have drinking fountains for water. And when you first approach them, you can get a bit frustrated because you cannot seem to find a tap that will turn the water on. And you're thinking, I'm so thirsty. How can I get this water? And then someone points out to you that there's a little notice at the foot of the fountain which says, stoop and drink. You've got to move forward, bend your head forward, and the water flows. There's an electronic eye which senses your presence, and the water begins to flow. And I believe sometimes in the Christian life, we need to stoop and drink. We need to acknowledge our sins. We need to bow the knee as the old hymn writer wrote, I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. Hosea goes on to say, there are consequences of this. There's evidence. The fact that you've returned to the Lord and you've drunk of his spirit, that you've become closer to him. There's evidence. There are consequences. And he gives three. And these three, I believe, are the clear evidence of what our lives can be like. First of all, he says, there is a freshness. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily, like a cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots. The Holy Spirit provides a degree of freshness in our lives, as it's captured in Ephesians 5 by Paul when he talks about being filled with the Spirit, someone who is making music in their hearts to the Lord. Someone who's making music in their hearts to the Lord. There is a freshness. Hosea also says there's a fragrance. His fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. There should be evidence in our lives of that fragrance. It's a bit like, you know, when you make a cup of tea, when you put the water in and then you put the tea bag in, that's when the fragrance comes out. There is a fragrance. Thirdly, he said, there is a fruitfulness in our lives. Verses 5, 7, and 8 are saying, the fruitfulness comes from me, the Lord. You will blossom like a lily, flourish like the grain, blossom like a vine. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, so on. There is a fruitfulness in our lives. That's this morning really quite briefly to you. And we're aware of the fruitfulness in our lives. Are we a fragrance to others? Are we aware of the freshness? When we're dry, and it can happen at times when we least expect it, when we're dry, we need to turn afresh to him, turn to the Lord, meet with him. Meet with him through his word, that ongoing word which teaches us, enables us, brings us into a closer relationship with him, and to enjoy his presence in a deep and fresh way. We've got a moment or two when we turn to communion just to reflect upon the goodness of the Lord and what he did for us, and to turn afresh to him. Let's pray together. Father God, we just thank you for your love towards us. Your love provides for us in so many ways. Your love gives and gives and gives again. But we recognize, Lord, that we often fall far short of your glory. And that our lives can often become dry. And we just want to know that we can turn again to you. And that you will fill us afresh. Fill us afresh with your Spirit. Fill us afresh as we spend time with you and your word. Fill us afresh as we see you at work in our lives, in our witness to those around. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.